I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Today, we're exploring how God uses this world to communicate His Word. Because He loves to do it. Because from seeds to stones, He sure seems to love making metaphors out of our everyday lives. But the more symbolic His speech, the more meaning we can miss. And that was proven last week in a wonderful message that boggles the mind. I don't know if you were here for that. Who ever considered that literal cornerstones in Galilee might unlock mountains of biblical meaning? So, just realizing that there's all this depth around us, it is vital that we slow down to look around for anything profound in the everyday lives we lead. Because every little teeny word from God is a huge step toward life. And to hear them all, you got to ask this question. Where is God speaking to you? Okay, now I know this is His place. So I know most of you want to raise your hand and go, duh, He speaks through His word. I thought you were a pastor, Noah. And you are correct. And thanks for yelling at me. You are correct. But here's the question this morning. Are you sure that you are picking up everything that God is laying down? Because even when we are listening, it is so easy to miss a meaning. So let me give you an example. Have you ever gone to go see a good action movie and you walk out thinking about car chases and kung fu, and all of your more brainy buddies are discussing the deep symbolism and clever metaphors, and you feel totally left out, like you're just not bright enough for it? Me too. It's enough of those smart friends of ours. But think about this. These movies like Inception, these are blockbusters, right? Inception, The Matrix, The Life of Pi. They are all, yes, on the surface, action-packed cinematic blockbusters. But every single one of them is also meant to make us contemplate the nature of the actual truth we trust. Whoa, right? It's hidden in there. And then take Harry Potter and The Lord of the Rings. And Star Wars, right? They were all intended to get us philosophizing about our personal relationship with good and evil. That's in there. I'm sure you caught that, right? And now, get this. Even Wall-E and Avatar and King Kong, they all snuck in subtle messages about humanity's dangerous relationship with nature. Did you catch them all? Did you? No. It's okay. We're not that bright. It's okay if you didn't. I mean, I didn't even realize that Avatar is just a glorified fern gully until a little while ago. Anybody remember? It's the same movie. It's the same. Anyway, but it had the same hidden meaning and everything too. Those are hidden meanings. So it's okay to miss them because they're hidden. And by definition, they're supposed to be buried beneath the surface. But the whole reason we hide them comes from how happy we are to find them. And here's why this is so fun. Because the chemical for pleasure in humans called dopamine, you've probably heard of it, is directly connected to all the things that could lead us to a potential payoff. All right? You know how famously Pavlov's dogs all started salivating at the ding of a bell because it meant dinner was approaching? Same goes for us. We're not that much better than these dogs. Anticipating a reward really rings our bell too. We actually literally get high on searching and seeking when it leads to digging and finding. That's it. We're wired that way. That means we are wired. We're all, every one of us, wired to look for those hidden meanings, because unearthing anything that was previously unseen has the exact same pleasurable payoff as a treasure hunt, okay? And this is a big part of His Place culture. This is what we firmly believe, right? That's how you should see your Bible. It is this incredible treasure chest. The deeper you dig, the more you find, and it's incredible stuff that's in there. But if you don't believe it, just look around at all of human history, because it's easy to see, if you just look at everybody, everywhere, all the time, finding meaning is a drug that we're all addicted to. Right? Doesn't matter the culture or the time, we need to find that meaning. And here's why that all matters. When God decided to communicate his word, the signature style of his speech was the exact same as our favorite filmmakers, which is seemingly straightforward, simple stories with a hidden, deeper meaning. A lot of them we call parables, right? Especially when explaining scripture to his disciples, he did this all the time. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. Okay, get it? See how much he likes to do that. And just in case we'd ever question whether the hunt for more meaning in his word was worth our effort, well, Jesus explicitly promised that satisfying payoff that motivates our pursuit. We all know this one. He says, I say to you, in case you're wondering if it's worth following me, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, I promise. Knock and the door will be opened, guaranteed. But although that's great, and it is, you gotta wonder, what's the point? Why? Why wire us to want this whole weird hide-and-seek hunt for hidden meaning instead of just laying it all out plainly? Bruce and I, we have this discussion a lot, you know, going, this has to make sense, because we see in Scripture where he can just open somebody's mind to Scripture in like an afternoon. He's like, hey, this is what all that stuff meant. And they go, oh my gosh, that's all of it. I get it all now. Why do we have to go through this entire giant, you know, treasure hunt? Well, I'm glad I asked. Here we go. There's at least three really good reasons for all of the metaphoric meaning and symbolic stories. One, they help us receive the truth. Two, they help us perceive the truth. And then three, they help us believe the truth. And those three things are critical helps, because his word can only save us when we hear it and we understand it, and then we actually go out and live it. And these are the three steps that Paul praises for followers. I love this. He's talking to the Thessalonians, and he says, we thank God continually, because when you received into your heart the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as human word, but perceived it as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in the lives of you who believe. See that? 1, 2, 3. So to see how symbolic words help us through these three steps, let's start with how they help us receive the truth, because this is where it all begins. We can't do anything with the truth until we actually obtain and retain the truth, right? You gotta have something to do something with it, okay? You with me? That's pretty simple stuff. So getting it, receiving it, is our number one top priority. Like God commands Ezekiel, he says, receive into your heart all my words, okay? Every last one of them, all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears. So that seems easy enough, right? That's open that Bible. It's a pretty big book, amen? It's pretty big. The truth is big. And if you've ever tried to teach anybody anything, you know our attention span is small. I mean, the pinnacle of our information exchange nowadays has been reduced to tweets and shorts and memes. That's how we like it. Why? Because learning is hard. And we like things easy. So for us to hear out and hold on to like massive amounts of information, like the truth is, right? To hold on to this massive amount, it needs to feel as effortless as social media scrolling, because that's what we demand, and we're whiny little babies. And thanks to God, guess what? It is. It's that easy. Has anyone here ever heard of a memory palace? Or you just don't remember? Is that what's happening here? Is you don't remember? Maybe I have. Well, learn again. If you've ever heard of a memory palace, it's this method that we've used throughout human history when we need to remember a lot of specific stuff. In fact, most memory champions, world memory champions, yes, it is a thing, and it is the coolest thing ever because I didn't know it exists, but a bunch of people get together and they see who's got the best memory. But they use this method, the memory palace, they use it to memorize hundreds of faces or abstract images and over 1,000 different digits in under 30 minutes. In 30 minutes, it was the world champion, I think it was like 1,104 consecutive numbers that they had 30 minutes to memorize and then just say them back without making a single mistake. And they use this thing called the Memory Palace. It's also famously used by Sherlock Holmes, I think. Anybody watch that? Me neither, because it's not church. Sinner over here does. That's right. You're the other pastor. All we have to do, here's how it works. All we have to do is attach new information to things that we already know, like your home. You're pretty familiar with your house, right? Yes. So if your bed, let's say, represents the number one, okay? You just say, okay, my bed is number one, and your slippers are attached to a five, and then, you know, maybe the bathroom is a seven. Well, then you can remember the number 157 by just imagining a story that says, I woke from bed and I put on my slippers so that I could go to the bathroom. And that's easy enough, but you just locked away 157. That's how they do it. It's that simple. It's nuts, but an incredible memory just requires a familiar environment, which we already have. All we really have to do to remember, all we have to remember is the everyday life that we already lead. And let me ask you this, is it hard to memorize the location and purpose of your car and your dishwasher and your lawnmower? If that's a yes, then we have some bigger problems, okay? I don't know what we're going to do about that, but if you forgot what your dishwasher does and where it is, talk to me after the service. No, you know them, right? You know them. You already know this stuff is locked away for life because that's what life is. Life is just a huge collection of people and places and things that we experience and we remember without any effort every single day. And that means this incredible thing. That means we are ready to attach and remember new ideas to millions of things that we already know, like seeds and soil and fruit and stones and pillars and hearts. Like we heard last week, I mean, who'd have thought that that was all contained, locked into these simple little things here? Life is just our enormous and unforgettable memory palace that is just waiting for new meaning. Because it doesn't have it inherently, but we need to put it on. And again, listen, here's what's so crazy about this. We know, this is not just speculation, we know that this is God's MO because he tells us plainly, this is a great example, he tells us plainly how he always intended for shallow things like religious practices of everyday Old Testament life. Like, they were never supposed to be literally the thing. It wasn't, hey, if there's enough of that goat blood, then then you're good. No. This was all meant to lead us to deeper, hidden truths. So about the first covenant, and about the tabernacle, and the priests, and the holy bread, and the ark, and the altar, and the holy of holies, about all of this stuff, we are told all of this is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. You get that, right? You didn't think I was being literal. Those were all just symbols. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same symbols, symbolic sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, it can't make you perfect. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. And there you go. That's it. It's the reminder, because atoning for sins is a very real concept upstairs. That is a very real concept that we must remember down here. So sacrifice was made a symbolic component of everyday life down here, so that we would have something to attach God's bigger truth to. When Jesus showed up, what was John's words? What's the lamb? Get it? There's all of this stuff already packed in there as placeholders. And in the same way, this whole life is full of shadow things waiting to reveal their deeper meaning. So whatever you do, don't ever get it backwards. We say this all the time backwards. We don't think of it the right way. Truth does not depend on this world. This world depends on God's truth. Okay? Lock that away. Remember that. This is the unreal. That is the real. Everything God created down here is a simplified and symbolic shadow of an infinite and incredible reality up there. And here's why that is so great. It's because whether we catch the intention or we miss the meaning, the symbols stick. If you walk out of WALL-E and you go, that was about environmentalism, I had no idea, you know, it's just still there. That symbol has stuck, and it's just waiting for us to find their meaning. The more you discuss it, you go, oh my goodness, I didn't even see that layer. And once you see this whole world as the memory palace that is created to catalog and connect us to the truth that is hidden in his word, then all those strange symbols in scripture start to actually help us perceive the truth. We've heard this one, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible, aka hidden qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. That's how you can just decipher it right there. And that right there is a necessary step, because understanding the truth is what makes it worth remembering, right? It's not important to remember everything about sheep and days of the week until you see what that's really about. Then you need to know. In fact, perceiving is just the second half of receiving. Like God commands Ezekiel, like let's go back to this one, right? He said, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you. And part two, hear with your ears, which seems like a redundant thing to say, because it essentially means dig deeper, dig for the deeper meaning. And we know that that's what it means, because this is what he says after his word has already been heard. He doesn't say, you know, listen to this, says it, and then he goes, now hear that. And you go, I just did. I just heard it. So why would you say it again? No. It's more like the English expression, give ear to my words, right? Give ear to my words, asking that the listener make an effort to truly pursue the meaning of what's being said. He's saying, do you hear me? Right? Maybe you have this discussion with your wife and she's like, I feel like you're not hearing me, you know? The words are going in, but you're not hearing me. There's a difference. It's that understanding, that perception. And sometimes it takes seeing the meaning in a symbolic story over here to dig up and discover the message that is hidden in our own lives. And I love this example, like this time that King David was somehow very, very conveniently oblivious to his own adultery and murder. Like you can just sneak that, like, oh, I didn't notice I did that. But like his own adultery and murder when the whole Bathsheba blunder, and his prophet Nathan wanted him to see his sin that he just couldn't see for some reason. So Nathan had to make up this shallow story about some rich guy who stole and killed some poor guy's sheep so David could see the deeper dilemma more easily in his own life. And sure enough, what was his response? David burned with anger against the man in the story and said to Nathan, oh, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for the lamb four times over. You think they would go in the other order. He's got to pay for it and die, but that's kind of, anyway. He's got to pay for it four times over because he did such a thing and he had no pity. And then Nathan said to David, you are the man. How do you not see that, you big dummy? It's obvious. I'm telling you the most shallow story so that you'd see it. And at that moment, you just got to be embarrassed for him, right? But the truth is this. Sometimes we're just too close to something to see it. And that's when it takes a shift in our perspective to finally get the picture in our own lives. If we can catch the same message hidden in a different story, it can actually start this whole chain reaction of dominoes going off and understanding the meaning in our own lives. That's how watching WALL-E might make you an environmentalist, right? You'd watch it and you'd go, oh my goodness, that's like what I'm doing and I kind of want to change. Or maybe you watch Lord of the Rings and it actually inspires stronger moral convictions. You're like, yeah, I need to stand up against evil. That's it. It's just a story about something totally different that has the same message in your own life. But it can do that because metaphors are miracles. Metaphors can compress life's complex concepts into these easily understood images. It's kind of like a zip file on your computer, right? It's just this one little thing that you can just unpack and unpack and unpack. There's so much hidden in there. And as we start to actually perceive what it is that we're receiving, those previously unseen layers of new meaning that are in everything, well, they help us to believe the truth, which is the whole end game here, right? They help us believe the truth because hearing and understanding is only half of the battle. Believing the truth means rejecting all the rest. And that right there, it's a big part of the main reason that Jesus gives his disciples for the way that he talks, why his speech is all full of parables. Because they come asking, we're not the only ones, they say, why do you talk like this? Everybody's asking him that question. And he says straight out, this is why. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, saying, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. And why? Well, for this people's heart has become calloused. And there it is. It's a little heart detector. Because you see, the Pharisees received God's word. They did. They had it locked away. They received God's word, but they wouldn't dig deeper to perceive it, to see what it really was all about. And that, right there, revealed what their hearts really believed. Because our pursuit is what proves our purpose and our passion. What are you actually doing? That reveals it all right there. If we believe we already have the whole truth, well, then we won't dig deeper. We'll say, I'm good. I got it right here. I don't need any more. We won't dig deeper. That shows what you really think. But if we trust that there is still more to see that only God can give, then we will follow him until we find that real meaning and get that real reward that really rings a real believer's bell, which is, that's the goal right there. I hope you get that. That's what you want to be. When you open that book, that it just makes you drool. Jesus said, for judgment, I've come into this world so that the blind, but believing, will see deeper, right? And those who think they already see, well, they'll become blind. And so some Pharisees, catching on to this little shallow story, said, what are we blind to? And Jesus said, well, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. If you knew that you weren't seeing at all, if you were blind, you would not be guilty. But now that you claim you can see, well, your guilt remains, thinking that you know it all. For the weirdly written word of God, the way that it is, it's alive and it is active. It, the word of God, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. How? By being full of these strange symbols that continue to confuse those who are too prideful to pursue God's help. For God is not the author of confusion. That's not where it comes from. Shallow believers are the authors of confusion. Because where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every other evil thing are there. Got it? That's when you're hearing other voices. So where is God speaking to you? Literally everywhere. Literally everywhere all the time. The real question is this. Are you listening? Are you giving ear to his words? because you can't receive and perceive the deeper meaning that is hidden in your life until you actually really truly believe that all truth does depend on God's word. So do you believe that? And this is not a trite Sunday morning, forget about it this week question. Do you really believe that that's true, that this entire place has no inherent meaning without the word of God attached to it? It's easy to tell. It's easy to tell if you're there, because when you're having trouble, and all of us are, when you're having trouble finding meaning in any area of your life, are you turning to his word? That's our spiritual dipstick. Are you turning to his word when something just seems, why is this happening? I don't like this. This is frustrating. I don't get it. Are you immediately turning to his word? You would if that's what you believed. If you really understood that that's what gives anything meaning, you would be running to it every chance you had. And then while you're running, ask yourself this: how passionate is your pursuit? You know, do you turn to that book just for the quick edible fortune cookie answer and then move on? Or do you go, man, if I really press into this, there's some deep answers. Ask yourself, are you doing that? And then answer honestly, could you do it better? Because the sad reality is this: sometimes it seems easier. I mean, I know it. I did it for years of my life. It seems easier to just sit through life as a simple and somewhat satisfying movie without worrying about any deeper meaning. I can just do the shallow stuff and make it, and then wait to die. Hooray. Like, that's it. Here's the question, though. Why would you accept that? Why would you accept that when we are all wired to enjoy life? Enjoy it with that dopamine firing all the time. Enjoy life as an action-packed, mind-blowing blockbuster. You wouldn't. You would not choose that. If you went to the movie theater and there was two, and one said humdrum, boring, kind of okay movie, and one said the best thing you've ever seen that's crazy, which one would you go to? Well, with that response, I know which one. You guys... I want the action-packed, mind-blowing blockbuster, right? That's what you would do. You would choose that one. But sometimes, just because we get afraid or whatever it is, we choose the other one, and we coast. We think coasting is going to be satisfying. And you know it's not. But if you've chosen that, if you're in the middle of that boring humdrum movie, here's the really good news. At any given point, it just takes three simple things to flip that script. It takes an open heart, it takes an open mind, and it takes an open Bible. Because that right there is how we pursue the only author who has the words that can give our life real meaning. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we love you and we seek you as the only true treasure that gives everything in our lives meaning. Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us to hear those deeper truths in your word as we start turning to it to guide our everyday lives. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for entering this lesser life to prove your higher love and for leading the way from blind confusion to life-saving sight. And to that we all said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.